Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone and welcome to the 50th episode of Praticamente Inglese. How's it going, guys? It's unbelievable. We are at episode number 50. What a journey. It's unbelievable. I can't believe that. It's great. I'm so excited to tell you thank you very much to all of you, to the great audience listening every day to Praticamente Inglese. I'm going to switch now in Italian as we're going to have a very long interview in English today, and vi volevo soltanto ringraziare tantissimo. L'episodio numero 50, incredibile, è stato un viaggio bellissimo iniziato a settembre del 2019. Se sento ascolto i primissimi episodi mi vergogno ancora, però insomma li ho lasciati lì proprio per far vedere e capire l'evoluzione del podcast. Vi ricordo inoltre che chi magari ha scoperto Praticamente Inglese da poco, gli episodi insomma dal numero 20 al numero 40, i primi episodi diciamo dal numero 5 al numero 12, così, sono tutti molto pratici, legati con una traduzione quasi simultanea dall'italiano all'inglese, andando a toccare tantissimi temi, parole diciamo del day to day, della termini che vengono utilizzati normalmente nella giornata lavorativa. E quindi invito chi ha scoperto il podcast da poco di andare anche a risentire gli episodi passati, ecco. Ma oggi intervisterò Sebastiano. Sebastiano è una persona veramente fantastica, perché innanzitutto è un grandissimo esperto di lingua inglese e tutto il comparto education legato all'inglese. Sono tantissimi anni che lui è un insegnante di inglese certificato, ESL, si occupa anche dell'inglese a livello accademico, e inoltre ha un bellissimo progetto in arrivo proprio per aiutare le persone ad imparare l'inglese, soprattutto i bambini, perché lui crede che appunto in quella fascia d'età dai 3 agli 8 anni sia fondamentale imparare l'inglese per poter avere diciamo delle basi solide per poi poterlo parlare molto bene durante l'arco diciamo della vita, ecco. E quindi non mi sto lì troppo a dilungare. Vi ricordo come sempre che Praticamente Inglese, oltre a essere su tutte le varie piattaforme di podcast, quindi lo potete ascoltare un po' ovunque, e anche sui social, su Instagram, su Facebook, su LinkedIn, su YouTube. Come sempre potete mandarmi un messaggio su LinkedIn se voleste darmi il vostro feedback, cosa vorreste ascoltare nei prossimi episodi. Io sono sempre molto aperto e vi ringrazio per i tantissimi messaggi che mi lasciate. Quindi, bando alle ciance, let's get started with today's episode. I would like to welcome Sebastiano. Hi Sebastiano.
Hello Mattia, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. It's an honor. It's great to sit here and talk to you for a little bit.
Where are you now? Where are you based now?
So I'm in Milan at this moment.
Okay, nice, nice. Are you working there?
Yes, I'm currently working here. I'm working remotely, thankfully, which was a great advantage this year. So yes, I'm just based a little bit outside of Milan, in the countryside outside of Milan.
Okay, great. But why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? Tell us a little bit more about yourself, Sebastiano.
Absolutely. So my name is Sebastiano Alessandroni, and I am currently working as a quality assurance officer for Duolingo. I've lived all my life fundamentally here in Italy. I graduated from St. George's International School at the age of 18. I then moved on to the UK, where I studied at Loughborough University. I completed a 3-year degree in international relations with minors in sociology and Spanish. After all of this, considering that I did not think I was going to pursue a career in politics, my mother, who was an ex ESL teacher, she'd been working 25 years as an ESL teacher. She told me, "Well, you're a free spirit. You like to travel. Why don't you try and get your teacher's diploma?" Mm-hmm. I had already previously worked with children in summer camp since I was 16, and I always got a great kick out of it. So it was something that I really enjoyed doing. And yeah, fundamentally, the year that I finished my degree, I came back. And in October 2015, I completed my CELTA teaching certification. And there started a long 6-year career of teaching everywhere, private school, public schools, government entities, private businesses, banks.
And I say you're a proper English teacher, let's say.
Let's say I've seen it all and I've done it all, or at least I believe I've seen it all and done it all, I believe.
And that's great for us. As you may know, this podcast is all about trying to help people to better understand English, improve English in general, mainly in the workplace. But I have to say that it is becoming quite popular through, you know, different kind of ages. You know, everybody in Italy is trying to improve his English because everybody knows this is quite important to, you know, to communicate with people from abroad, you know, for working, you know, just to
it's
have
essential
more...
now.
Yeah,
it's essential now. You have to know English. English is the go-to language nowadays. If you want that career bump, if you want to progress, especially professionally, also personally, I believe as well, if you want to experience something else, it's just so essential that you know English from that point of view.
So let me ask you something about it, because I really want to know from your perspective as a professional, you know, tell me a little bit more about the best methods to improve English, you know, as a self-taught, as a, come un autodidatta, no? Come si può migliorare l'inglese?
Well, I always believe, for example, in my teaching style, I always believe in getting to know a student or personally. So always creating a personalized sort of study approach for yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to know, first of all, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what level am I? Am I basing this off what my school has told me? But I need to go and I need to certify what level I am. So there's a lot of places that you can go. You could also go to an academy who will give you a free collocation tests to know your actual skill level. Mm-hmm. You can go online and you can take an array of these little tests that will assert what kind of level you are at the moment. Okay. Once you have asserted that, I think the best way to go forward is also consider what kind of learner are you? Are you someone who's going to sit there and study for 8 hours on a book? Are you someone who needs to get out, go to a bar, get to know new people and converse with them? Are you someone who loves listening to podcasts or listening to music? So that's another thing that you can do. You have to understand what kind of learner you are and how to better assimilate the knowledge that you are going to be learning. So this is essential. It's essential.
You need to create something bespoke for the person in front of you, no? Everybody's different.
Absolutely. And especially if you are, like you said, self-taught and autodidatta, mm-hmm. It's so important to know yourself and to know what kind of learner you are. I've seen a lot of my students. I've had a lot of students who learn English solely by listening to music. I had one of my students was a hardcore Eminem fan, and wow. He listened to all of Eminem's lyrics, which you could say, oh my God, you could say great, or oh my God, because Eminem's content is quite heavy, but it was spectacular the way he managed to apprehend the grammar, the vocabulary. He did a bit of grammar on the side, but he only listened to music and he managed to teach himself all these words in English, free music. Yeah, and it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that's great. And also, you know, for example, movies, I heard people, you know, trying to, when I was living in London, I remember the first tip they were giving me was, okay, don't go to live with other Italians. Just please find a roommate, which is from another country. So you are pushed to speak in English, because otherwise he or she will not understand you.
No, this is absolutely true. I found myself in a similar situation. I went to Malaga, Spain for a year, mm-hmm. and by myself. And obviously, clearly, I'd studied Spanish for around 6 years, and I thought my Spanish was absolutely incredible. When I got there, my first meeting with my accountant, my future accountant, I did not understand a word. The velocity at which they speak, the accent, the Andalusian accent that is so heavy. I got a little bit of a shock there because I was like, I thought my Spanish was good. But yeah, I would actually suggest that you go and you fully immerse yourself in a 360-degree experience, because okay. You're forced to talk the language, you're forced to communicate, and everyday things that you would ask become normality in the end for you, like asking for a cup of coffee, tickets to a movie, or anything else.
Okay, I have
so definitely good.
I have, you know, so many questions for you. I was just trying to think, you know, what do you think about, for example, Italian public schools, no, the way they teach English to kids? What are your thoughts around this?
Well, fundamentally, I notice something that's very common, especially in the Latin-speaking based countries. So we're talking about Portugal, Spain, Italy. I can see that there's a little governmental spender on the actual educational system. And what tends to happen is it's clearly a cost to hire someone who is completely fluent in English, mm-hmm. rather than just training someone in your own country to get an English certificate and then to go teach these kids. Obviously, the effect is going to be a lot different. So first of all, the teacher who is not native, and you can see this a lot in Italy, kids do not learn the correct accents. They do not learn the correct stress on the words. They cannot possibly think of learning the correct pronunciation if the teacher is not native, and will not do exercises specifically focused on this.
Right.
Apart from the teacher side, I also believe that we have a very archaic way of teaching, I am the teacher, I am the head of authority, you are the students, listen to me, end of story. So it's still a lot of, you know, textbooks, fill in the spaces. When we need to get these kids to converse with each other, we need to get them to interact with each other, we need them to get them to be the commanders of their language, and they need to be able to take it into their own hands. And this is where technology, in my opinion, comes in as an immense benefit for kids.
Yeah, in fact, for example, talking about technology, you know, what do you think about starting online? You know, there are so many online courses. You can pick a tutor or an English teacher online, and you can just do a conversation, or you can study English with him or with her. And what about instead face to face? What do you think about the two different options? What do you prefer?
Well, again, and this is, I'm speaking out of experience. You get, for example, I lived in Milan, which is a very fast-paced city. So a lot of people don't have time maybe to come to your academy or come to your house and do that face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them find the online solution quite doable, and it's easier because you can do it from wherever. I always believe in a face-to-face. I always treat a language lesson much like a psychology session. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to see looking at someone and seeing how they react, their body posture, are they getting it? Are they not getting it? Is there something that I need to change? The human contact factor for me is very important. So I think if I had to give my personal opinion, face-to-face for me would be the best option for you to learn, rather than a digital setting, let's say.
But at the same time, you mentioned before about technology. I know there are quite a few apps around, you know, that you can download on your smartphone, no? And are those apps, you know, are they working from your perspective? Or, you know, is there a chance to improve English using those apps? What do you think?
Well, look, standard studies suggest that anything that you do on an application has to be combined with at least 32 to 36 hours study per semester, at least. So I do believe that these apps can help you, in the sense, I believe that they can help you teach things, but within a single episode. I do not believe that they are the best way for you to go forward in terms of learning a language completely. How do you say? You need to know the grammatical structure. You need to know, you know, the articles, prepositions, demonstratives. These are things that are better done accompanied by someone who knows what they're doing. But at the same time, I do believe if you have those 5-10 minutes to spare every day on an app, I think that could also be a very great benefit to you as well.
Yeah, I think consistency is very important. It's essential. It's crucial because, you know, if you have 2-3 hours with a teacher or something like that, and then for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you're not doing anything at all, you know, it's quite difficult to come back from where you finished the 2 or 3 weeks before. So consistency is key, you know, to have always 15, 20 minutes every day to kind of practice English, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, practice makes perfect. I mean, it's been said for 100 years that practice makes perfect. So absolutely, consistency is the key. Those 5-10 minutes a day will change the way you look at a language and will get you obviously a lot more prepared. So I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. I absolutely agree. At the same time, there's very little data to suggest that only by using an app will you be able to, you know, learn a language fluently. I have heard of people who have done it, which is amazing to me. But again, I'm quite skeptical on whether you can just base everything on an app.
Yeah,
and at this point.
And also someone else told me about the importance of pronunciation, no? Is it important for you, from your perspective, to try to replicate the proper pronunciation or, you know, the accent, the British accent, which is very different from, you know, the American accent, let's say, or the New Zealand accent or the Australian accent? What do you think?
I have a lot of people, for example, I've had a lot of students who have come to me and have said, look, I need help with pronunciation. For example, I had a guy, I had a person who was, he was a singer in a band and he used to sing in English and he was fully Roman, very heavy Roman accent. And so I was like, okay, well, let's hear how you speak. Well, the problem fundamentally was that he just had a very low level of English. So it's very difficult for me to get you to study a pronounce words properly if you do not have the basics of the language.
Right.
Again, it depends on the person. If you, I believe my accent is quite neutral. I try to keep my accent neutral because it helps me with teaching. Again, the American accent, I think, from a sonority point of view, is a lot easier to apprehend. And it's a lot easier to incorporate rather than the Australian accent, which is a lot more difficult. Or the New Zealand accent or the South African accent as well is something that's, I think you need to live in that place. If you live in that place long enough, you will assimilate the accent of the place you are living in, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. And things are starting from the beginning, let's say, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago, a couple of episodes ago, I was talking with a professor which was teaching English, you know, she was raising her her kid as a bilingual kid. And, but I mean, she was, of course, an English teacher herself. So it was quite easy for her, you know, to just speak in English and his husband was talking in Italian, no? But do you have any suggestions in terms of, you know, how to help children to learn a language, in this case English, more easily, let's say, from a parent, you know, from parents' perspective as well? You know, what can we do as a parents to help them on top of their school education?
Look, what I do believe is, again, it depends what kind of, you see a lot of them here in Milan, for example, a lot of kids now go to bilingual school, international school, even though their background is completely Italian, maybe. I've had the situation where my mother was English, my father couldn't speak a word of English. But for example, what my father used to do, used to say, you know, come, go, stop, eat. So very one syllable words, which are quite easy to get in a way, where a child, you know, when you say to a child, stop, you will see the child will stop. If you try to, if you try to teach a child a sentence, that will never work. Yeah. So I believe for very small children, starting with very short words, monosyllabic words, is something that can really help a child understand, because eventually you're obviously going to school and learning it. He can develop his own individual skills, but already inserting very small sentences or a few words here and there can help him already stop, go, eat, come here. And you can evolve on that. So from come, you can go to come here, stop, stop doing that. And eventually you can evolve into something a bit more complicated. This is what they can start to do, let's say.
Right, right, right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Faccio un piccolo recap in italiano, cioè mi è piaciuto tantissimo il fatto che dicevi, partiamo da una parola soltanto in inglese, da alcuni verbi molto semplici, andare, mangiare, stopparsi, fermarsi.
Sì, no, ma è essenziale, ma io perché l'ho visto con mio padre non parlava una parola d'inglese, okay, finché ha conosciuto mia madre, quindi ti puoi immaginare già la comunicazione tra lui e lei era complicato.
Certo.
Quando sono nato io, mio padre chiaramente voleva, era importante per lui che io imparassi prima la lingua inglese e poi avrei imparato la lingua italiana, e quindi lui cominciava con questi verbi molto corti, vieni, poi si evolvevano, vieni qua,
come here,
seduto, okay, sediti lì, sit there, you understand, so evolveva un po' così, piano piano ci costruiva i knowledge blocks che io poi chiaramente mettevo uno dopo l'altro, perché i bambini poi assimilano molto più velocemente il mio.
Quindi anche chi non parla molto bene l'inglese o comunque non è un native speaker può in qualche modo aiutare il proprio figlio utilizzando già alcuni termini anche molto semplici per cercare di fargli entrare subito nella testa del bambino, della bambina.
Assolutamente, a parte perché i bambini sono come un foglio bianco, quello che sentono, quello che vedono assimilano con una facilità. Io ho avuto una professoressa di francese che suo figlio conosceva l'italiano, l'inglese, il francese e lo spagnolo, ed era un ragazzino di 6 anni.
Ok.
E quindi, cioè, non so se poverino poi lui faceva una confusione, però era incredibile, potevi parlargli in francese e lui capiva spagnolo, italiano, inglese, ed è veramente una cosa incredibile e spettacolare per i bambini, specialmente poi diventa molto più facile assimilare e imparare una lingua in quel modo.
Ok,
me.
chiaro. And talking about, you know, there are quite a few e-learning platforms, no, around on, you know, kind of you can do those courses, let's say. And you know, what do you think about, you know, e-learning courses compared to face-to-face, like a tutor, or you know, just a one-to-one conversation? What do you think? Do you think are those e-learning courses useful for, you know, for improving English, let's say?
So when we talk about e-learning platforms from a strictly language base, mm-hmm. I think they're very useful. For example, I worked for Lingoda for a couple of years, and they used this combination of blended learning, flip learning in the classroom, where you would basically have a presentation and the teacher would be teaching you stuff from the presentation, which is great. And you would be in groups, usually, or individuals. And that's great because you can read what's in front of you. You see the knowledge you need to apprehend. You get the chance to interact with other people within your group. And I thought that was one of the best platforms that I worked for. But of course, there's Babbel as well, which mm-hmm. does something similar. Verbling is very much like Preply. So there it's a factor that you need to find a tutor, you pay that tutor.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical about these kind of platforms just because you never know effectively who you have in front of you. He might profess himself to be the king of English, and then you might find out that it's not really worth it.
Yeah, at the same time, you can just give it a try, let's say, with just one hour
of
money, and you see if that person is you know, is someone that is valuable for you, or you maybe need to change your tutor with another one.
I've personally experienced Verbling myself as a teacher and as a student, and I've always had great experiences. I've always been very lucky, but because I'm a teacher and I know what I'm looking out for, so what to look for. A student, again, it's a little bit more, I prefer to go for something that I know there's going to be a correct screening of the teachers. I know the teacher's professional, he's certificated, and he has a lot of experience.
Right. And also, of course, you know, I was just thinking about living in another country, you know, if you move abroad. Ooh. Of course, that will give you kind of a boost, you know, and it's not easy for a lot of people that maybe are now working in a company or they are already here in Italy. They are not going to move. Maybe someone really young, you know, after the degree or just before the degree, they can do this experience. What do you think? Of course, it's great to have this chance, this possibility, right?
Well, I think, look, me and you are living examples of how moving to a different country for a bit can help you with your language.
Right,
I went
yeah.
to Spain, and in approximately 2 months, of course, I had a base, but I was completely fluent. If I remember correctly, you had some experience abroad as well.
Yeah, I lived in London for 6 years. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, you had more than a little experience. You had a full-time experience. Everyone who I knew who's been over to Spain, Portugal, or England and has never studied the language have always come back, and they've always become, I think, even as proficient as a full course that you might take,
mm-hmm.
because you're living it, you're experiencing it, you're ordering a coffee, you're ordering a meal. And it's something that doing it consistently, it just becomes a second nature for you. So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. And for me, for example, this podcast is like, for me, it's just a hobby. No, I'm not an English teacher myself. I just had the chance to live abroad. And I realized how great, things are getting now, you know, because you can watch a movie in the original language. You can talk and speak with people from all over the world. And at the end of the day, as you said, of course, it's great to have a structure, to have grammar and, you know, to know properly English, of course. But at the same time, it's great as well to, you know, have the chance to, you know, communicate with all over the world.
Of course, socialize, you broaden your cultural horizons. It's phenomenal. It's also it's also something that should motivate you to want to go somewhere and learn the language, because you immerse yourself into that culture, into that society. So yeah, absolutely correct. I 100% agree.
And for the people, you know, that wants to improve their English with, you know, with the help of a teacher, let's say, is important, I think, as well, to change the teacher, right? You said to me that there's a good thing to change the teacher as well sometimes.
Absolutely. No, this is something that I think, in my experience, I've seen is very handy, because if you always stick to one teacher, for example, like I repeat, my accent is quite neutral,
mm-hmm.
and you might find it easy to maybe talk to me, but you might find someone, let's say someone of Indian descent who has a different kind of accent, and you might freeze up. And that is bad for your morale as well, because you say, oh, but I was going so well, I've done all of this, I was progressing well, and I spoke to this guy and I didn't understand anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you change teachers of different accents, UK, Australia, India, New Zealand, South Africa, America. You also practice, you're also training your ear to determine different sounds, different words. And it will be a lot better for you, because, you know, everyone speaks with a different accent. Everyone teaches in a different accent, because,
yeah.
you know, it depends on your country of origin. But I believe switching teachers every once in a while is really, really good for you.
Yeah, it's true. I had an experience in Scotland. You know, I don't know if you know that the accent is very, it's very difficult to understand.
Yeah, the Scottish accent is heavy.
So it's kind of, let's say, a very high level. So if you're able to understand the Scottish accent, of course, that means that you're doing well.
listen, all you need to do is ask my father, who went to Ireland, and they spoke in that really, really clenched mouth Irish accent. And, you know, it's desperation times, because you're like, oh my God, what's going on? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So I get it.
And also, you know, the fact that, what do you think about differences between, you know, learning from just one teacher or different teachers that you switch, you know, or that you change every 2, 3, 4 months, let's say, and studying in an academy, a proper academy that, you know, you're with other people, maybe at the same level as you are. So what do you think? What would you suggest? Of course, you will say that it depends, but in general, what are the main differences, if you can explain?
Okay, so usually what happens is when you go to an academy, the director of studies will always have their own personalized methodology and their own best way of how they think they should teach a language.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is great, because you might incorporate, I don't know, 60, 70% of your students. But at the same time, those 30% of people that you are not incorporating, and for you as an academy, you also need to be able to satisfy your clientele, you're going to lose them. Statistically, you will lose them within the first 2, 3 months of that course. You will lose them, because they just don't find it suitable for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, with a teacher, and you have to be very lucky because a teacher needs to be someone who can personalize a course for you. So needs to know you, needs to know what's going to get you angry, what's going to get you frustrated, when to stop, when to start, when you can move on to another topic, or where, if you think you should focus a bit more on this particular topic. But again, like the academy, you might find a teacher who is not that way or doesn't teach that way. And that could also be a disadvantage. You might find yourself looking for another teacher and another teacher and another teacher.
Okay. Okay.
But me personally, I prefer to go with a teacher who's genuinely caring, kind, loving, who wants to teach you and is going to work day and night to personalize that curriculum for you.
Right.
This is what I can say.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because, you know, he will personalize the course, let's say, where
exactly.
It's going to be bespoke for you, for your needs and what the kind of person you are. And that's great, of course.
Exactly.
And, but, you know, I didn't ask you about your project. I mean, because you introduced yourself at the beginning. So you have great experiences in the ESL, teaching English as a second language and, you know, courses. And you are a consultant for big companies that are, you know, well known all around the world to that helping everyday people to improve English and other, you know, other level of the languages as well. But what's next for you, or do you have any project where we can find you? Let's say, you know, well, tell me more about this.
So currently, what we're doing, let's say that all of what I've told you basically has a logical trail to it. Mm-hmm. We believe that studying a language starts from a very young age, and if it's not done properly in the young stages, and the knowledge blocks are not done in the young stages, this could be detrimental. We're seeing now a lot of kids leaving school at 14, 15. They should be a B1, a B2, and they're leaving and they're an A2 or an A1.
Ok, questa la dobbiamo dire in italiano, cioè B1, B2 sarebbero i livelli in inglese, no? Che sono fondamentalmente sì. A, B e C, no? Giusto? A1, A2?
Fondamentalmente sì, e poi sono tutti divisi in due livelli, quindi hai, scusami, A1-1, A1-2, A2-1, A2-2, quindi ogni sezione ha due sublivelli dentro.
Chiaro.
Quello che vediamo nella scuola italiana, quando tu esci teoricamente 14-15 anni, il tuo livello dovrebbe essere almeno un B1-1 o un B1-2. Abbastanza.
Chiaro.
Che vuol dire che io posso uscire da un ambiente scolastico e avere una conversazione con qualcuno non perfetta, ma che almeno il 60-70% mi capiscono, possono capire quando io parlo.
Chiaro. E ovviamente questo è disatteso, questo risultato, tra virgolette.
Come ripeto, se funzionava bene questo tipo di metodo scolastico, non ci sarebbe il bisogno di me o di tutti questi maestri che fanno i giri per le case o che lavorano per tutte queste accademie per fare lezioni di inglese. E in Italia è così da anni, diciamo, è da anni che va avanti.
Quindi, diciamo, il tuo credo fondamentalmente è che l'inglese debba essere insegnato in un'età, diciamo, giovane, che tu identifichi in quale, diciamo, in quale gap, tra virgolette.
Allora, fondamentalmente io penso che dall'età dei 3 fino all'età degli 8 sono, diciamo, le età più fondamentali quando parliamo proprio dell'apprendimento linguistico di un bambino.
Chiaro.
Questo perché i primi 2 anni comunque ancora stai cercando di capire mamma e papà cosa mi stanno dicendo, qua e là. Verso i 3 anni già stai cominciando più o meno a capire già la tua di lingua, puoi cominciare ad aprire anche la mente alle altre. Quindi dai 3 fino agli 8 tu sì devi imparare una lingua, ma devi imparare in un modo dove quello che tu apprendi è strutturato in un modo giusto. Cioè io non posso costruire una casa e fare prima i muri con le finestre, perché se non ho le fondamenta la casa mi casca addosso.
Quindi c'è bisogno di una metodologia che è applicata soprattutto a questa età, perché sarà diversa. Esatto. La metodologia che invece applicheresti a un trentenne o, che ne so, un sessantenne.
Esatto.
Ovvio.
Quindi cosa stiamo facendo noi in questo momento? Io e i miei e dei colleghi stiamo sviluppando appunto una piattaforma che si chiama LiriLab Languages, dove vogliamo inserire un curriculum digitalizzato, una piattaforma innovativa che praticamente va da sola in autonomia. Mm-hmm. E propone degli esercizi digitali e fisici, ma completamente gestiti dalla piattaforma. Quindi il maestro, invece di stare in una posizione di potere diciamo, di insegnante, diventa più un mediatore. Può inserire delle cose che vuole lui, può aiutarti, però diciamo che il computer, chiamiamolo così, è il programma che insegna a te. Ora, in questo programma, come ti ho detto prima, noi dobbiamo avere un curriculum che chiaramente, prima di tutto, è non filologico. Io non posso passare dell'ABC a il leone e il gatto, perché se io il gatto non lo so scrivere, è inutile che mi insegni gatto, certo, se io non so se so fino all'ABC. Quindi abbiamo sviluppato un curriculum che segue tutto un filologico e dove tu riutilizzi sempre quello che hai imparato nella lezione prima, nella lezione dopo, quindi è un costante martellamento, diciamo, chiamiamolo così, inculcare finché tu praticamente a te queste cose vengono naturali, utilizzando chiaramente poi tutto il movimento, la visuale, il tatto, che è un altro fattore importantissimo, perché un ragazzino, quando un ragazzino gli dici tocca rosso, è incredibile come un ragazzino quando tocca qualcosa di rosso non se lo scorda mai più, è una cosa impressionante. E quindi tutte queste nuove metodologie le abbiamo messe tutte insieme in questo progetto, appunto, che si chiama LiriLab. LiriLab Languages, che potete trovare tranquillamente su LinkedIn. Su LinkedIn avete pure il sito, se no andate su www.lirilab.com e potete andare, okay, a vedere direttamente là cosa facciamo.
Ma voi state sviluppando, siete ancora in fase di sviluppo oppure già completata?
Noi in questo momento siamo ancora in fase di sviluppo, siamo pronti, dovremmo essere pronti a lanciare il prodotto a settembre per il nuovo anno scolastico, diciamo.
Quindi diciamo sei super concentrato su questo nuovo progetto. Mi piace tantissimo il fatto che tu dica, e un po' tra virgolette quello che ci siamo detti prima, in cui mi hai dato tutte le varie risposte alle mie tante domande, un po' quello che dici dalla tanta esperienza che hai avuto, con tutte le persone che hai visto e le grandi difficoltà che trovi ogni giorno, hai capito che insomma come sviluppare un percorso affinché arrivi a un apprendimento diciamo serio, e la target audience per fare questo sono i bambini dai 3 agli 8 anni, che sono quelli, no, che mi dicevi essere, è in quella fascia che bisogna battere il chiodo, no, per far sì che poi nel futuro. Ma questo è fantastico, quindi io non posso far altro che ovviamente augurarti e anche ai tuoi colleghi il meglio e farvi un grande in bocca al lupo. I would like to thank you, you know, for being my guest today. I'm sure you gave us, you know, great tips, and this is going to be, you know, an episode full of value for all the listeners of Praticamente Inglese. I would like to remind everybody that Praticamente Inglese is everywhere, so you can find it on all the different podcast platforms, on Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and so on and so forth. And also we are online, we have different social media accounts on LinkedIn, we are on Facebook, on YouTube, on Telegram, we're everywhere. I'm sure you're doing the same for your project, Sebastiano.
Everywhere, we are trying to get on everywhere, even on billboards, on television if we can. If it's possible, we are there.
Yeah, it's very important. Communication today is key. Cool. So, but thank you very much for being with us today. I would like to, you know, just say to everybody that this is the 50th episode of Praticamente Inglese. It's unbelievable.
And fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, you are my, you know, I don't want to say my 50th guest, because as I started my podcast, I was just with a phone and I was recording stupid things. So if you listen to my first episodes, like number 2, number 3, they're like embarrassing to me, you know, but I left those episodes there because to show as well to the audience, you know.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah, the evolution of it all.
The journey of this podcast. So I'm going to leave it there forever. But in general,
it's the most important thing. It's the most important thing. The end goal at the end, when you're at the end, you're at the end. The journey is what you have to enjoy.
In fact, it's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. But anyway, thank you very much, Sebastiano. I would like to remind to all my audience, you know, to follow Praticamente Inglese everywhere. Have a great, great week ahead, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Sebastiano.
Thank you very much, Mattia. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Cosa significa muoversi liberamente? Scoprire le infinite possibilità e superare i propri limiti. Lasciati ispirare da Muoversi liberamente. Tante storie raccontate da Kuwait, ora disponibili sulle piattaforme podcast.
Segui i podcast di Voice sulla tua app di podcast preferita. E se sei un utente Prime, ascoltalo senza pubblicità su Amazon Music.